James Ashcroft has done a wide range of acting and directing and writing and producing in theatre, radio, movies, as well as leading the National Māori Theatre Company Takirua Productions. Now comes his first feature movie, inspired by an Owen Marshall short story called Coming Home in the Dark. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in January, and now Hollywood has come knocking. James Ashcroft, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Well done.
Thank you.
Jesus, this is a dark piece of work. I mean, the short story was dark enough, but you've darkened it still further, haven't you?
I'll take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. Yeah. But it made me think of, you would have seen Michael Haneke's Funny Games, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah,
both. Couple of sadists.
Both versions of the film. Yeah, the story, the short story, is a very dark piece, and that was why it was so arresting and it had made such an impact on me when I did read it for the first time. And it sort of sat there for a long time because, you know, we could have extended that short story to 90 minutes and it would have been very much like something like Funny Games, which is, you know, we've seen films like that. We've seen films like that that have been done incredibly well. But until we found the material to get underneath the short film, to have it speak about something bigger and more personal, more idiosyncratic to Aotearoa, until we found that component to the story, it sort of sat there dormant for a long time. And when we did bring in those aspects of that long shadow of the failure of our state institutions, it started to write itself. So Eli Kent and I, who wrote it together, it was a wonderful moment of realization when we had to start chasing the story and the characters in the way that they wanted to unfold.
And so what you've done is inserted a possible agenda for the two murderous guys.
Yeah, we were interested in the territory to begin with. It's something that we'd been exploring ideas around, so we were very familiar with it. And I've had a bit of experience with, you know, friends and families and associates who have gone through institutional care and state care in New Zealand. But it wasn't so much an agenda. We wanted, rather than just having this black and white notion of good guys and bad guys in films, which is not appealing to us in any way, we wanted to look at both sides of the fence in terms of how good people can do bad things and people we may
good
outwardly,
people can do bad things. That's quite
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And how we're very quick to judge what a bad person looks like and ignore what might be the contributing factors to their actions.
Mm. I mean, this does people's heads in, of course, doesn't it? I mean, it's like that previous interview. Hmm. People want this to be there and that to be there.
Mm.
And that's how we've always known it.
Mm.
And these guys are obviously bad. And this family is obviously completely blameless.
Mm.
But nah, you're muddying those waters, James.
Yeah, I guess, I've always been attracted to that grey space between night and day, between black and white. And I think all of us, you know, we all grapple with through our lives that trying to reconcile those dark and light aspects of ourselves, not necessarily to this extreme, but I don't see the world in black and white terms. I most of the people I know and associate with are pretty grey one way or another, and I think there's real merit and there's real hope in exploring that grey territory, and that's what genre films I find can do. Genre films, genre literature, is that you can confront tricky subject matter. You can explore and unpack it in a way that can still be entertaining, thrilling, scary, funny, without sort of having to compartmentalize and dumb down for an audience good guys and bad guys, because we all exist in that gray space. So what we're trying to do is, I want people to relate to these characters. I want people to be drawn in to all of their journeys and what they do, and question their allegiances that they may have had at the beginning of the film to how they are at the end.
The short story was marked by its attention to South Island landscape.
Mm.
Your movie is shot not in the South Island, but around the Wellington region.
Yeah.
Any reason that big cheaper, I imagine?
Well, if it's so slight, yes, that was one, but not the most contributing
spectacular
factor. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the great things about the short story and a lot of Owen's writing is that the landscape, as he captures it, is a real character. It's a real imposing force. And that's why I was really drawn to that story, because that's my relationship with the landscape of Aotearoa. The whenua I find is very, you know, it's on one hand, it's that beautiful, clean green, Lord of the Rings picture postcard view. And then the other aspect I find is that it can be completely indifferent. It can be very imposing. Good things and bad things happen on that landscape. Blood is spilled continually through history. And I feel that the land retains a sense of that mood and what happens on it. So when I think of those long sort of journeys at night through the desert road that I used to take with my parents when we were going up the North Island to visit people after work, and that's the landscape, you know, those landscapes which we don't often see in New Zealand film, especially those sort of cinema of unease landscapes. The desert road, there's a barrenness, there's an atmosphere and a tone there. But it's also an aspect of our landscape which I find personally incredibly beautiful as well. And that was one of the aspects, again, that duality between night and day that we've got going through the film, is trying to find that, whereas the beauty in the harsh ugliness of life.
That cinema of unease, which was the expression coined, I think, by Sam Neill.
Yes.
It's so right, isn't it? Do you see a reason why we are so taken with the dark, uneasy movies?
I don't know. I think
a land with too few lovers, as McCann put it. I mean, that's what I think. You know, when I look at the scenes in this movie, I think, there's no people there.
Yeah, I think there's a difference in New Zealand cinema between dark films and films which are quite mopey and heavy and sluggish in some ways. And, you know, this is just my personal opinion, but I think New Zealanders are drawn to the complexity of those dark films, specifically through character, specifically through looking through a lens at a landscape or a situation and finding beauty in that ugliness, and vice versa. And that's where I think, you know, films like, The Piano, for example, which was incredibly dark in many ways, but also found great beauty in its films, the works of Vincent Ward.
I was thinking of Vigil, of course.
Yeah.
Did you have to check, just a logistical question, did you have to check with Owen Marshall about what you did with his short story?
No, Owen, look, he was the most gracious and faithful person. I mean, he agreed to meet with me the morning after he got the Prime Minister's Award for Literature. So I thought I'll try and catch him with a hangover, and you know, maybe he'll give me a good deal on the option. Laid out the intentions for the short story, and he felt like his work was going to be handled in the best possible way. He said, it's yours, go forth, and good luck to you. So he's a very gracious man. He's one of our best. And
has he told you what he thinks?
He has told me, and I was his opinion was the one I was most nervous about seeing the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a few other people ask him for me as well, just in case he was feeling very polite about giving me an answer at the casting screening. But he was very complimentary. And Eli Kent and I also optioned another of his works, The Rule of Jenny Penn. So he hasn't sort of pulled that option off the table. So I can only take that as a good sign.
He hasn't pulled the pen on Jenny Penn. All right. Because what you've done is essentially turned his short story into the equivalent of a novel in many ways.
Yeah, adaptation is a bit of a tricky thing. Like I say, there's a version of the film which you stretch out the short story for, you know, its duration, and that would be fine too. Same with when you're working on a novel, you have to find out, well, what limbs can the essence of this story survive? So, you know, it's a It is a negotiation. The main thing I think that was always at the top of mind for Eli and I was that what are the writer's intentions here? What is the tone of the story? What is the sketch of the characters? And how do we stay truthful to those rather than necessarily going, this scene was filmed in a graveyard, therefore we must shoot it there. Trying to stay faithful to the intention of the writer is always the priority.
So this project, Coming Home in the Dark, emerged from Light in the Dark Productions you founded 6-7 years ago.
Yes.
To put New Zealand literature on the screen.
Yeah.
What else have you got in the pipeline?
So, well, The Rule of Jenny Penn was the very first script that Eli and I wrote together. So that's going out to casting at the moment. And we're looking very hopeful that that will go ahead in the next year. Also developed Sydney Bridge Upside Down, the David Ballantyne novel, which had a profound effect on me.
Did it?
It did, yeah.
Did you read it first?
I read that in, I think it was 2010 when it first came
out.
It
had a renaissance.
Yes, it did, right. with Text Publishing republishing it and Kate DeGoldy sort of championing it forward. So, yeah, I went looking at Unity Books for another novel, and Toby Buck, who was working there, he said, have you heard of this book? You have to read it. And I bought it thinking I'll add it to the pile. And then I read it, and I remember I finished it in 2 days. And when I finished it, I went right back to the beginning again. And it was a slow burn. It crept up on me.
And were you always thinking about a movie?
I think I was in a state where any book I was reading, and that's one of the things that sort of spoiled reading for me now, is that every book is a potential opportunity or an invitation. But when you get hooked, and it's not often, not in the way that Sydney Bridge Upside Down hooked me, is that I find it's close to obsession. I've read Sydney Bridge Upside Down.
What is it? What is it that had such a profound effect on you?
Well, that one in particular, it felt like, obviously I had a very different childhood to Harry Baird and what happened in his childhood. I haven't sort of pushed anyone down flights of stairs or anything like that, that I'll admit to. Mm-hmm. It was a sense of this guy is speaking about the essence of what my childhood felt like, and that started bringing up a lot of thoughts and emotions. And there was something, he's caught lightning in a bottle. He's caught a feeling that I had forgotten about, and now that he's brought it back up, it's sort of, sat with me for many, many months about what that meant and the horrors of childhood, as well as, things that seem very innocent at the time and what the repercussions that they can have.
So, that Daniel Gillies is terrifying, isn't he?
Good.
he plays this, I was going to say psychopath, I don't know. You would argue with me about that, really. Mandrake in Coming Home in the Dark. And he just rules. I mean, he's the most extraordinarily powerful actor.
Yeah.
In a eerily calm fashion.
Mm.
Have you got him lined up for other roles?
Not exactly. Look, I really loved working with Daniel. Daniel wasn't initially somebody I had considered for the role. And when I met him, I was sort of, thinking we'll have a polite cup of coffee for half an hour in LA and be on our separate ways. But we ended up talking for half an hour. 3 hours.
I was going to say half an hour. Yeah. Okay. Things move fast in LA. Half an hour is a lifetime.
Three hours. Chin wagging over, he detected all the subtle references as well as the big overt ones that were, in the script. He talked about the script as a whole. He didn't just come at it from the character's point of view that he was being considered for. And, he had been doing 20 years of doing vampires, sexy vampires on, the Vampire Diaries and the originals. And he was wanting to, shrug off those shackles and sort of flex the other muscles that the actor has underneath and hasn't had time to showcase. So he was willing to put as much on the line as I was, and I really liked that.
I make no apology for spending most of this interview talking about Coming Home in the Dark, because I didn't want to shelve coming home in the dark because you're going on to bigger and brighter things with Hollywood. Because this is not the case, I'm sure. But nevertheless, you have been approached to do projects for what do you call them?
Legendary
entertainment.
Yes.
Dark Knight and Inception and all that. You're going to do an adaptation of Max Brooks' 2020 novel, Devolution. What's the story?
Devolution. So Max Brooks, who wrote World War Z, the book, not the film, it's essentially about a high-tech eco-community of wealthy people who want to live off the grid but be fundamentally wired into the grid. Living in
sort
the deep forest.
Fake survivalists.
Well, no, just they want to live and have a connection deeper with nature by living in the forest, but they also want the trappings of a modern world and life. High-speed internet.
Fake survivalists.
Yes, they don't go hunting for anything. They get their stuff droned in.
All right.
Mount Rainier erupts, cuts them off from the mainland, and they are stuck in the wilderness. And that's when a tribe of Sasquatch happened upon them. A whole tribe. So it's not just one. It is a whole tribe, and of course it you know, with that being cut off and the pressures that they're put under, civility falls away very quickly, and they devolve in order to survive. So it's a primal force against primal force.
And is it scary?
It is scary. It's quite,
because Sasquatch, Bigfoot. You know, it's kind of.
I know. I've never had an interest in Bigfoot. The only ones I've seen in film, you know, Chewbacca looks better than they do usually. But it's Max's treatment of looking at what happens to people when they're put under extreme pressure and duress, and how that shapes and changes people, and it reveals people. So I think it's very much
sort
of like,
and that's obviously why they thought of you, because coming home in the dark is exactly that.
Well, I think so. I mean, it was look, I'm still kind of pinching myself as to why they chose me, but you know, it was a very, very easy pitch. It was a book that I knew about, so I could speak to, and Eli,
coincidentally,
yeah, I was able to reach back on my bookshelf and pull it off the shelf in the Zoom shot, which wasn't staged.
Really?
But I may start to stage that from now on.
Yeah,
further
exactly.
ones. But no, Eli and I just loved it.
You've got another adaptation.
Yes.
Lined up.
Yes.
Of a crime thriller. Which you can't name for me.
No,
can
unfortunately
you?
I can't. Oh. I'm it hasn't been announced by
Would we know it?
Yes. If you were to go into leading booksellers around New Zealand, it would be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we talking someone like Lee Child, for example?
We're not talking about Lee Child, but we're talking about, you know, crime thrillers in the vein of, you know, people like Linda LaPlante and you know, that kind of crime rather than the Jack Reacher type.
When are you announcing it?
I have no idea. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, when I hear back from my betters.
We will keep our ear out for it. James Ashcroft. Thank you, James Ashcroft. He's the director of Coming Home in the Dark, his first feature.